Hello and welcome to Your Dream Gym, where I am proud, pleased, excited, and very happy to be launching Series 9 of the podcast. And today's guest is going to be Joe Fleming, who is the Physical Activity Ambassador and a member of the UK and International Health Coaches Association. I'm Guy Griffiths, and when I'm not talking about health seekers or helping clubs with their member retention, I like to talk to people about their dream gym. And by talking about their fitness and exercise background and their favourite workouts, it helps you to know more about them, which helps with networking and making connections. Because your dream gym is a part of the collective, a network of fitness industry professionals whose purpose is to help the industry to share, collaborate, and grow. Go look up the collective on social media. We're particularly active on YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook. I'll pop back at the end of this episode with some more details about the collective. There might be a little break in the middle as well, talking about some of the other work we do. There may be a quick word from our supporting partner for this series, Explore Gym, in a moment. But after that, you'll be able to get straight into the Dream Gym and find out more about Joe Fleming. Today on Your Dream Gym, I am really pleased to be joined by Joe Fleming, health and wellbeing coach at Leamington Primary Care Network and physical activity ambassador for the UK and International Health Coaches Association. Joe is seriously academic, having a BSc in sport and exercise science from the University of Birmingham, a master's in health promotion from Swansea University, PhD in health sciences from the University of Warwick, and level 5 integrated health and nutrition coaching with Active Health Group. She has been a research fellow at the universities of Southampton, Edinburgh, St Andrews, and Warwick, as well as an assistant professor at Warwick's Medical School. She is now a health and wellbeing coach and has recently become the physical activity ambassador at the UK and International Health Coaches Association. Welcome to Your Dream Gym, Joe.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
That is a pleasure to have you here. Before we get into the normal Your Dream Gym questions, I'm interested for you to let the listener know, what does being the physical activity ambassador at the UKIHCA, to use the acronym, what does that role look like? I know it's very new for you.
Yeah, it is. It's a really new role. So I've been a member of the UKIHCA since about 2021 when I first started training as a health and wellbeing coach, and I work as a health and wellbeing coach in the NHS. And a lot of what we do is about linking physical activity and health coaching and the health sector together. And I'm quite an active member of the UKIHCA, and they came to me and said, is this a role that I'd be interested in taking up, like a volunteer role, to help bridge that gap between the health coaching sector and the physical activity sector? And it's something that I'm really passionate about, and I jumped at the chance to be involved and try and help with those connections. So it's brand new. I've been doing it a few weeks, and we'll just see how it evolves, really. So I'm lined up to go to the Elevate conference in June and speak with other members of the UKIHCA team and connect with others there, and see, being on this podcast and speaking with yourself and lots of other things that we'll have lined up and see where it takes us, really. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, there's lots of the physical activity sector are looking to help mostly and support the health sector. So it's great that the health coaching sector, I think, is also coming from this. And rather than just saying, oh, that's something we want to do, appointing an ambassador in yourself in the voluntary role, but to get that message out and help to bridge that gap, as you say, with things like networking and conferences and doing podcasts like this.
Yeah.
I think it will be really, people have talked about the health angle, and the podcast is called Your Dream Gym. But as we get onto that, it doesn't have to be a gym. People do talk about health hubs and things like this. Yeah, really interested to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
But before we do, we always rewind a little bit and just talk about it. What does exercise or activity mean to you, Joe?
Yeah, it's a very big part of my life, exercise and activity. And I guess it means different things at different times for me as well, really. So I've always been quite a naturally active and sporty person. I don't know where I got it from necessarily. Neither of my parents were particularly sporty, but they were active and they were always very supportive in any sport and activity that I wanted to have a go at. I think when it comes to activity, and I think this has become more important to me the older I've become, but it's not just that to going for a run or going to the gym or something like that. It's more about just creating a life that involves lots of movement. In my day-to-day life currently, that might mean walking my kids to school. It means cycling to work in between all the GP practices. It means taking the stairs instead of the lift, that kind of thing. I think definitely as compared to in my younger years when that physical activity and exercise was very much a thing that I went and did, I'm realizing that just incorporating it in my everyday life is really beneficial to physical health, mental health, all that kind of a thing. So yeah, and as I grew up, I tried lots of different sports. I did martial arts, I did tennis, I did swimming, cycling, but it was running that kind of stuck with me and which I fell in love with. So I remember I must have been about 11, I think, when I started running, and it was at secondary school and one of the maths teachers started a running club at lunchtime, and I quite liked the sound of it. It was, my school was in Portsmouth, so it's right by the beach. So I just liked the idea that I could get out of school in a lunchtime and go outside. We'd run along the seafront and things like that. And I just fell in love with running at that point. She suggested that I join an athletics club. So I did that. And yeah, just spent a lot of my teenage years down at the running track, training for specific events and things like that. Made friends that I'm still really good friends with now, many years later. And yeah, that's, running has been the thing that's just stuck with me through all my years. I had a bit of a point at university where it tailed off when other things start to come into play, and I got injured and ill, and other interests and things started happening, but picked it up again a few years later in my late 20s. And now I do longer things, 5Ks, 10Ks, marathons, that kind of a thing. So that's the thing that's stuck with me the most and is my main activity.
Nice. So from escaping from school, but in a controlled way with the maths teachers. I get that. It's really, we need to be careful. We don't go too many health and kids activity routes. Mm-hmm. We'll turn it into another podcast. But things like Run a Mile that happen now are just marvelous. And I'm sure I've chatted about it on the pod before, but encouraging my school to do that. And it is so inspiring. For most kids, I think, to just get out, whatever, go for a run. And you were doing it on your lunch break rather than in between lessons or even during a lesson. But do your kids do that now? Have they picked up on running? I don't know.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So one thing that I really enjoy doing is the park run. So on the Saturday mornings, that features most Saturdays, is, you know, unless we're doing anything else, park run is normally there. And yeah, I have two kids. So I have an 8-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter, and they both do it. We started them when they were quite little, and sometimes they'd want to do it, sometimes they wouldn't, and we just go with that. And my son now really does enjoy the 5K one. They started off doing juniors, but he likes the 5K ones, and my daughter does them as well. So again, it's one of those things, we try not to push them if they don't want to do it, but if they do, then we do. And what if they want to walk it or run it or just watch or whatever? We just encourage that. So park runs a brilliant thing for that.
It is. It's a beautiful thing. It's the new, I know some people say CrossFit is the new church, but I do believe park run, you know, it is not a religion, but it is, you know, an early weekend morning thing that people go to.
Yeah.
As much for the exercise, that kind of main goal of running around 5K and maybe getting a PB, but actually just seeing other people and saying hello.
And
possibly walking it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, absolutely. And it was one of those things that really kept me connected, I felt, to that running and active community when I was going through different stages of life. So when I was pregnant with my two children, you know, I couldn't do the usual races that I might do, but I could still go to park run and get progressively slower as the months went by. But I still felt like I had that connection with that community, and that was really important to me at that time.
One of my favourite stats about exercise in the whole world is that park run, the average time for park run gets slower every year.
Yeah.
It's that brilliant because it means more people are doing it as a proportion. There's always going to be some people in short shorts and vests, and that's fine.
Yeah.
If there's more people doing it and plodding around, they're going faster than they were last week if it's the first week they've done it.
Yeah,
it can be the slowest.
And it can be whatever it needs to be for whoever needs it, can't it?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so but I also like the way, and I see this with a lot of my friends and with our family as well, that you say you're building in activity. It's not about sport or even necessarily running, although clearly that's still a big part of your life.
Mm.
It is just building that movement in to the, okay, I'm going to go from this appointment to that appointment on my bike today because that's who you are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And is that, I imagine then that is also the same for the kids and for friends and encouraging more people to be active travel and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Try and encourage as many people as I can to do that. And where I live in Leamington, it's a smallish town. I know a lot of patients I speak to, they feel a bit nervous about getting a bike on the roads and things like that. So it depends on the person and what the journey is and things like that. But definitely I always try and encourage people to commute actively whenever they can, or even if they're getting the bus or driving somewhere, put the car or get off the bus a little bit earlier and walk the rest of the way, park the car, the furthest point in the supermarket car park, and then walk. So whenever we can try and fit in these extra little bits of physical activity, because it all adds up, even though it doesn't feel like much at the time, it all adds up. So definitely try and encourage that.
Is there an environmental thing as well? Is there other, because yes, parking further away or actually just walking there, there is an environmental effect, obviously, in terms of fuel costs, whatever else. But also, I'm thinking environmental for people's health, for fresh air, outdoors, that kind of thing. Is that, I guess that must be important to you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. The environmental side of it is really important to me as well. And in fact, I think I heard a stat the other week that you actually breathe in less fumes when you're walking down the road than you do when you're sat in a car. So even though you might think it's so, you're going to breathe in all the fumes because you're walking or you're commuting on a bike, whatever, it's actually worse you sat in traffic breathing those fumes in a car, and you're one less car on the road. Then we've got in Warwick District Council, they've got a climate change group, and they do lots of different things, but they set up a better points scheme. And I get a lot of the patients to do it, so they download an app on their phone, and then they just keep the phone on with a tracker on. And every time they make an active commute, a walk or a cycle, it logs it on the phone and they get points. And then they can go and redeem those points in local places around Leamington and Warwick. So that they link with the gym, so they can get a free pass at the gym. If they get so many points, a free swim, free clip and climb for the kids and things like that. So that really motivates some people as well. So it's brilliant. We're in my role at the moment, we're trying to connect a bit more with them to try and encourage people to do more activity to then get rewards within the community, which I think is a great thing.
No, I think all those schemes are good. I know Better Points well. It is a really good, simple, it's not even something you have to turn your Strava on necessarily. No. It'll log those journeys and then reward you. But I think, I wasn't aware of that. We're thinking about the whole fumes thing, the whole, you're sat in your car, you've got the windows up, you've got the air conditioning on, God knows you're burning even more fuel with all those things, but the air still isn't that fresh in your car. And I obviously, depending on the location, a bike is a worry for a lot of people, but just walking a bit more or going for walks. That's the other thing that's with a young family as well. It was great during the pandemic. Sorry, it wasn't. Overall, but to be told by the government to go out for a walk every day, we had some lovely walks and some lovely chats and discovered new areas around us. It was like, okay, do more of that still, right?
Because strangely enough, I think the physical activity kind of participation in the population went up during COVID because we were told we could only go out an hour a day. So people did. Whereas now that we're allowed, I think the physical activity participation has now gone down to lower than it was before COVID. It's almost like when we're allowed, we don't tend to do it. Whereas, although it could be the fact that lots of other pressures and things in life for some people weren't there. So they did have that hour to go and do that walk for particular people.
Yeah.
But it's a shame that hasn't carried that. That was one of the positive things that happened. But I don't think it's necessarily carried on in the way we would like.
Yeah, problems are filmmaking, and as you say, yes, there's more stuff to do, but I think the fact that we're not told that we're only allowed to do an hour a day means that we then go, okay, fine, I could do 5 hours, but actually, am I doing any? But yeah, there was less to do, and I think there were also other pressures, and clearly there was lots of mental health pressures in lockdown. God knows homeschooling was not one of the most fun things, but there was many other more serious pressures than that, and to go out and have that walk, well-being break, whatever, a bit of headspace or a bit of a time to chat that wasn't looking after home IT issues and can you print out this fillering sheet for me?
Exactly.
So you've talked a little bit then about your almost your kind of weekly routine. You've got part run on Saturdays and you're building movement into your life in general. Are there any workouts that you do? Are you going to, there's, goodness knows, there's lots of gyms around Leamington. I know it's quite a competitive area.
Yeah.
But are you going to the gym or leisure center, or are you doing any other kind of workouts or classes regularly?
Yeah. So I'm a member of my local running club, Sparse Riders. I used to go to a lot of their training sessions throughout the week, but obviously with 2 children now and all their activities and various things, I tend to fit my training around other things that I'm doing in the day and meet up with friends for a run if I can. So I guess in a typical week, I might do 2 or 3 runs. If I'm training for something in particular, I'm normally following a plan. So I might do something like an interval session, reps of a particular distance, like a tempo run or a longer, slower run. And then the other types of things that I like doing, so I often do a weekly ride on a turbo trainer. So we've got a turbo trainer in the garage, bike on. So me and my husband both use Zwift, which is like an online cycling thing. So we do like TTTs in a team and stuff like that. So
nice.
I tend to do one of those a week if I can. And then I also do a strength session at least 1 a week. So again, I used to be a member of the Everyone Active gym in Leamington and go and use that and do the classes. But with time and things, I don't tend to do that so much at the moment. I tend to use kind of online videos. There's a Caroline Govan. Don't know if you've heard of her. She's got loads of videos for all different, literally everything you can think of that you want to use. If it's like a 15-minute core or a 15-minute kettlebell or whatever, you type it in, she's got something. So I tend to try and do those and build it around what I'm doing. And then another thing that I started last year, so I was never really into swimming. It was something that I didn't really like doing. And then I entered the Swim Serpentine last year, which is an open water swim, because if you do 3 events in London, you get this big London Classics medal, and that was the one that I was missing. So I thought, I'm gonna do it. I had a friend that kept saying you should do it, and I bit the bullet and I entered. So I thought, right, now I've got to get swimming. And I had a bit of a fear of swimming in open water, so I started a plan and I did it. I did the Swim Serpentine. Thought I might carry on with the swimming after, but turns out that if I don't have something to train for, I don't swim. I've realised that about me. So I've now entered the Great North Swim along with a couple of colleagues, which is in June, which is in 12 weeks' time. So I've started a 12-week improver plan this time. So it's building on what I did before. And I just started yesterday. So the 12 weeks started yesterday. So I'm now back at the pool. So I'll probably be going to that three or four times a week, early morning. So I can, it's good for me that, because the pool opens at 6:30. I can do it and get back for getting the kids to school and all of that. So it fits in quite nicely.
So get in early, get an hour of, and is it like you're running training? You're doing interval training? You said it's on a program. So,
I've got a program. So it's got like an interval, an easy and something else. I can't remember now. I've got a structure to follow and it builds up. So it starts quite easy. It was just like 20 minutes of blocks of 5 minutes yesterday, and it builds up over the 12 weeks. So I quite like doing that.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how far is the Great North Swim?
It's 2 miles.
Okay. Yeah,
it's 2 miles. And there's also an NHS 1 mile swim the following day for NHS employees. And so probably do that the next day if I'm feeling up for another mile swim.
Stay up there and see. Cool. But it's going to be, I imagine, even though it's in the summer, it's going to be cold.
Yeah, I don't know. It's in Lake Windermere, so I'm not sure what the temperature will be like. But hopefully not too bad. I'll have a wetsuit on anyway.
I was going to say, it'll be a wetsuit, yes.
Yeah.
And is there a transition? Do you do any other open water? So you've got the 4-inch week on your training session.
Yeah. So there's not open water swimming on my plan, but there is an open water venue near to me, a place called Compton Verney, and we've got a local company that does open water swims, I think between May and over the summer period, and go there for one a week for a few weeks and just get...
Yeah, so there might be a little bit of acclimatization.
Yeah, to get... Because it's quite different, I find, from swimming in the pool to then getting in the open water. You can't see. The water's a lot colder. There's weeds and things.
sorts of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I love it, but honestly, I love it in the summer.
Yeah.
Once a fortnight, and I'll still be swimming in the pool.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've had one or two guests. Andy King jumps immediately to mind from GM Active, who is open water swimming all year round.
Some people do, don't they?
Okay, that's cool. Very cool in the winter.
But,
but there, it is surprisingly different, I think, going from this. You mentioned training in the pool, amazing. Mm-hmm. You'll be getting the stamina and everything up and ready for the event. But acclimatizing yourself is important as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Good luck with that. The Great North Swimming Lake Windermere.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Whole family going up and supporting you?
No, not this time. It's on a Friday, so the kids will be at school. I'm going up with some colleagues. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hi, a quick pause in this episode to just let you know about a couple of other conversations that we have on The Collective. The Business of PT is another podcast hosted by a good friend of mine, Adam Daniel, where he delves into the dynamic world of personal training and the strategies behind building a thriving fitness business. He doesn't just talk to personal trainers, he talks to all sorts of different business people about fitness, business, and building a great PT business. There's loads of lessons in there, loads of learning. So get your ears around that one if you want more of the same. Health Seeker Stories is another series of conversations that I have with people in the fitness, health, coaching, and related industries about what we call health seekers. They're people who want to be healthier but probably don't want to join a gym but are looking for support, also known as the 85%. I've also got some great guests on there, some of whom have been on Your Dream Gym, one or two of whom have also been on the Business of PT. So if you enjoy Your Dream Gym, carry on listening. We'll get back into the podcast in a moment, but do look up wherever you found this podcast, The Business of PT and or Health Seeker Stories. Thank you, and back to the podcast. That probably takes us nicely into Your Dream Gym then, Joe. You've got an unlimited, and listen, the title is gym, but it's as flexible as you want, and it can either be just what you want, or it could be what you think the public needs, but you've got unlimited budget. It can be anything or anywhere you want. Yeah. What would your dream gym look like?
Cool. So my dream gym, it wouldn't be a gym in the classic sense of it having walls and weights and machines and all that kind of thing. But for me, it's more about bringing the gym out into the community. And I guess more importantly, where physical activity promotion is a normal part of healthcare delivery. So I guess currently in a world where physical activity has gradually been engineered out of our lives, I know we spoke about that a little bit earlier about how incorporating it into everyday life is really important, but I'd like to see an environment where physical activity is more enjoyable, accessible, appealing to everyone. So as a health coach, I spend quite a lot of time facilitating people to become more active, and I've come to realize that there's usually something out there for everyone. You just got to find what that is. So I guess if I were to design my dream gym, there would be three kind of key features it would have. So the first one would be community and social connectedness. The second one would be nature, and the third would be variety. So the first, so community and social connectedness, is arguably, I think, probably the most important one. So when we look at overall wellness, there's so many things that play a part in a person's overall well-being and physical health is one of those areas, and how much physical activity that we're getting. But another area is that social wellness. And I think, as we briefly discussed before, something I think during COVID that was very much highlighted, the what it feels like when suddenly we can't see people and we're not connected in the same ways that we were. And so loneliness and social isolation is one of the biggest factors when it comes to health span, even more than being active. But one of the wonderful things about physical activity is that it's got the ability to promote that community and foster that social connectedness through actually doing it. So I'm very lucky to work as a health and wellbeing coach in Leamington Primary Care Network. So it's made up of 8 GP practices in Leamington. So in that context, I'm talking about my own community, where we've got around 85,000 patients within Leamington.
Yeah.
And over the last few years, thanks to a very passionate lifestyle GP who I work with and a fantastic team in the PCN, we started to put some of those ideas into place. So while it's my dream gym, it's been created and or has been created and continues to grow in reality. As a health coach, I help run lifestyle clinics for patients in Leamington, where we take patients through 4 hours of facilitated discussion and learning about lifestyle and behaviour change. And this in itself fosters community, because people come together and they talk about issues around their lifestyle. They realise they're not alone. From they're sitting there going, oh, one of the main things they get out of it after the first session is there's other people that have got the same things, issues that they've got, and they felt that they were alone. So that in itself starts to foster that community. And then after each of these sessions, they have 4 in total, we then have a walking group that follows immediately afterwards. So where we walk for kind of 30 to 40 minutes around the local area. So the group's made up of other people, so either previous lifestyle clinic patients or regular walkers in the community that also join. And over the years, it's become quite a large group. It's called Walk Talk Walk. There are Walk Talk Walks all over across the country.
Yeah.
So we have a couple, one that runs out of one GP practice on a Monday evening, one that runs out of another on a Thursday morning. So it gives people the option of the time of day and what day and that kind of a thing. And the idea of these groups is really the social aspect and the mental health first. And then the physical activity really is the byproduct.
The secondary thing.
And as well as the walking group, we do have a running group as well, which is called Run Talk Run. So we run about 5 kilometres. And just recently, actually, we started. So all of our practices are park run practices. So they're linked with their local park run. But on the back of this, we've recently set up a practice to park run group where we take patients through a 9-week NHS Couch to 5K. So we use the app and we take them from being non-runners right at the start to completing their local park run in Leamington 9 weeks later. Yeah. So our current group is about week 7. They just did week 7, started yesterday. And then the idea is we take them to park run. And then they can, once they've done that, they can then join our main group. But then we've also introduced them to park run. So that, again, that opens up, it links from the healthcare side of it. So they're coming through the GP practice. We're enabling them to get the confidence to get up to the 5K with that support. And then we're introducing them to park run, which they can get as much out of that as they want to afterwards. So again, it's increasing that social connectedness, that community through that.
And they've gone from a small, because when you were saying the clinics initially, I was thinking, is it one-to-one? But clearly those are
Those ones are groups. Yeah, those ones are groups. So we do one-to-one after, but those particular ones are group lifestyle clinics,
So that's one of the people want that or need it, but the group, and you see this from, the classic behavior change. The examples are always stop smoking, but how much more successful people are in groups than with patches or vapes or all the other stuff. But the group coaching is always so much more powerful, but you're taking them, it's still a small group with people who've been through it, but then that they get almost introduced to park run, which I'm guessing is only like the park runs around here are massive groups.
Yeah.
But they've
got
their groups within the group, the people who will physically hold their hand, but look up.
Yeah.
And they go to their first one and give them that high five afterwards and all those kind of good things.
Yeah. Absolutely. Amazing. So it's great for that. And yeah, so we have these walk groups, we have the run groups. We've recently started a buggy walking group again. So we're trying to make sure that there's different things for different communities to get that physical activity, but more importantly, get that connection with other people within the community. Yes. So with the buggy walking, there wasn't currently one that we were aware of in Leamington. So we've invited patients from various different practices and they can walk, they can talk with like-minded new parents. We have at the end of each month, we have a special walk where we also have a guest speaker. We've hired out a community centre and they have a guest speaker. So our first one was on perinatal mental health. Yeah. Our next one is on yoga. We got one on baby first day. So again, we're connecting the health and the physical activity and trying to make it an overall better experience.
Yeah, so you could just come along to the baby first aid and you don't have to go for a walk. But I presume people are finishing their NCT classes if they're doing them and then hopefully getting hooked into that. Okay. It's the next thing along.
Yeah.
Which, again, the mental strains we both know of going through that new parenthood journey.
Yeah.
That network is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's really important. So, yeah, and I think so in my dream gym, I think there would be many more opportunities across the health sector led by different people and facilitating activity and communities. Yes. A bit like the model that we're creating in Leamington, but taking it much further out to different PCNs doing the same thing or different areas of the health sector also facilitating that link between health and physical activity and just how important it is. People get so much from doing activity together. You've got the accountability, sociability. Mm-hmm. You can make long-lasting friendships through that collective physical activity goal. That can be quite bonding, can't it? So yeah, so that would be my first thing.
Oh yeah, so the community social connectedness. Perfect. And bringing more and more people in.
Yeah.
Which is, it is. We are going to be talking Health Seekers on the other Health Seeker Stories podcast on the collective, and UKI HCA are going to be heavily involved with that. I don't know if we'll do an episode as well, but that's why I said we could stray off into that. But in terms of a dream gym, the community side of things, like your park run, but also, like all that amazing lifestyle stuff you're doing around Leamington. And it's not, I love the fact that it is, I know it's called Walk, Talk, Walk, but it's actually the talk, which is the, although it's walks there twice.
Yes.
It's actually the talk that's the central hub. And that's the main reason for most people. The walk's almost the kind of supplementary thing.
That's it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. And then, so nature is the second part.
So the second bit, Jim, would be nature. So I absolutely love nature. And I know there's research that shows that getting out in nature daily is beneficial for all kind of health reasons. And I can definitely see the change in kind of body language and just or happiness in a way. When I take patients on a walk and then we might be walking along a path just in a residential area and then I'll take them down a little path and all of a sudden we're in nature. You can physically see the change in them when they were like, oh, I didn't know this kind of existed, or I'd not been down here before. I never knew there was this like nature reserve down here. And I know it's not possible in all areas. When I'm talking about nature, I'm not talking about going out in the complete countryside and wilderness and things. I think it's just getting somewhere where there's some green space or blue space. Sometimes you have to search around for it a bit, no matter how big or small that might be. But I think in my dream gym, it would be a case of identifying what these places are in your community and making use of those places the best you can, utilizing them for whatever activity it is. And I say I definitely try in my own when leading the various walks and runs to try and get out of that residential bit and get into nature as much as I can, even if it's just a small little bit. That's definitely what I do. One of the GP practices that we run one of the walks from on a Thursday is in a fairly residential area of Leamington, and it wasn't an area that I necessarily knew much about when I first started, but bit of exploring, bit of looking on Google Maps and things, and like, oh, this looks a bit green here, the canals there, how can that hook up to that bit? And before long you can connect all the different places, and now I've got about 5 or 6 different routes I can interchange that allow people to sample different types of walks and different experiences. We're definitely lucky in Leamington that we do have quite a few areas of green spaces. I regularly see things like Nordic walking going on in various bits around town and running groups. And I really like to see actually some kind of outdoor early morning things like Tai Chi and yoga. I don't know if that's something that currently happens in Leamington, but I'd love to see something like that, just walking through the town and just seeing different things going on, which kind of leads me actually quite nicely into the third thing, which would be my dream gym. So as I said before, it'd be amazing if bringing physical activity as a normal part of healthcare delivery could be more common. So I think variety, which is my third one, variety is key when it comes to physical activity. So I think a lot of people who aren't necessarily very active currently, but want to be more active for health reasons, whether it be weight loss or managing or reversing a certain condition that they might have, they often think of physical activity and exercise as being something that they have to endure. So they think of the traditional gym setup or running on a treadmill or doing a step class, that kind of thing. I love running, but the idea of running on a treadmill really doesn't appeal to me at all, whereas a lot of people
think exactly the same.
Yeah, I've got to go to the gym and I've got to run on the treadmill and that kind of thing. They sometimes think of exercise, I think, as being like a means to an end rather than something
Or you've got to be sweating.
Yeah, or you've got to be sweating or something like that, something that's going to be painful rather than something which they want to incorporate into their lives long term. And I think that's where I think providing variety within the community is so important. For some people, the gym is, in the traditional sense of a gym, is the right place for them. I've certainly health coached patients for whom that's the right place for them to be active and they make really good use of it. But for others, maybe you haven't been active for quite some time, it's more about exploring what things they used to like doing, or perhaps they don't do it anymore, or the types of things that interest them. Explore what movement appeals to them and give them the tools to go out and try that. So certainly within our group lifestyle clinics, where we have a whole 1 hour session on physical activity and the types of things that we should be doing, we certainly explore, you know, what's stopping you from being physically active, what things did maybe you used to enjoy that you don't do anymore, have other people in the group had similar experiences, how have they got back into activity. So it's exploring those things and then making sure that variety is possible. So I talked about the walking groups that we've got and the running groups, but they are very popular, but it's not accessible for everyone for a variety of reasons. So we were lucky in last year, we set up a group called Swim Together. So it was linked with Swim England, Mental Health Swims, and Everyone Active. People might have heard of Mental Health Swims. They have volunteers all around the country that host outdoor kind of dips. For people that want to improve their mental health through being in the open water, not necessarily swimming loads, but just being in the water with other people. But again, that's not for everyone necessarily. And they wanted to try a model of the mental health swims, but in a swimming pool. So we piloted it in Leamington at the local Everyone Active pool, which isn't too far away from many of our practices, and just invited people to come and in the water to do whatever they want. So some people can swim lengths and they do, other people just pootle around in the shallow ends, have a chat, they might do a length and come back and have a chat, whatever works for people. So we piloted that and it's proved to be very popular. We've carried on with it and it's an ongoing thing now. So people have 6 sessions free with us, then they go on to what's called a social prescribing membership where they can access our sessions plus any other adult quiet swim in the swimming pool for a certain amount of time, and then they can go through exercise referral and get a membership through that. It's a good way of getting people in the water, then continuing it once it's become more of a habit, and then giving them access to all of the Everyone Active type facilities. So again, it's that link from starting with the health. They might have come to a lifestyle clinic or come to their GP with a particular problem. Okay, maybe swimming might be something which could help. And they can start, and then that can lead to several months down the line, swimming being a regular thing for them. So
it's going for a dip swimming rather than your 12-week program to go and swim across Lake Windermere, because that's definitely not going to be for everyone.
No.
Sounds boring to me, but we're a bit weird. And the general population, actually, I can see how it is good for mental health, because actually there's quite a lot of barriers. And they say also that the whole Wim Hof method, cold therapy, is great for your resilience and grit and opening. But again, definitely not for everyone. But just getting in the water and, as you say, poodling about.
Yeah.
I love it. You don't need to be going up and down and crossing the channel on swim tag or whatever else.
No.
Although all those things are good.
Yeah.
Having the confidence to go to the pool and to get changed and to go in and being helped with that is, it is a really big step. And yeah, we'll totally help people swim together and mental health swimmers.
It's really great to see people come through it. People that previously, you know, I was half coaching one lady who couldn't see a way how she would actually ever go to a public swimming pool. And now she's one of the regulars and she's even signed up for the exercise referrals. It can start really small. It can go to something really big. And I've had a few patients that have inquired about open water swimming and cold water dipping. And there's groups that do that in Leamington. So I've pointed her in the direction of those groups, and she's probably gone off and done those. So it's just allowing that kind of variety. So the swimming is one thing, but I think, again, we're very lucky in Leamington that there are lots of different options. And that's another thing that we've been trying to do, is linking with different physical activity providers across Leamington. So we do have a little bit of funding to try and set this up. It's early days yet, but we've linked up with different physical activity providers, ranging from Nordic walking to dance, Tai Chi, and all these different things, to be able to offer patients different activities according to their wants and needs. So I think if we have a variety of activities available and patients are encouraged to give these a go, give it facilitated to be able to do this, we've got a bigger repertoire of activities that they can choose from. And that not only limits the risk of stopping due to kind of boredom or injury or something like that, but it allows them to explore different things and find what it is that they really like, find and connect with groups of people who might have the same kind of aspirations as them. And then the activity becomes part of their life rather than something that they've just got to do because they were told that they needed to be more active. So I think variety for me is really key. And the more things that we can have, the more opportunities, the more links we can have between, say, health and physical activity, and if we can understand each other a bit better, then that would be great.
It's a lot of people talk about signposting within social prescribing, but I love the way you talk. Obviously, from a coaching point of view, I'm very plugged into that. But it's the choices, it's giving people choices rather than signpost, rather than prescribing something to them.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it is called social prescribing. We can't get away from that. But to say, what was it that you used to do to be active? And what else do people in the group used to do? And what would you like to try again? And these are some choices that you have. Because when people choose to do something, they are more likely to stick to it rather than being told to do something or prescribed something. So the language is really important. But I love the idea of, you know, Tai Chi as well. It's not, things like Tai Chi, it's not going to get you sweaty, or it's not necessarily even exercise or activity, but it's going to get a group of people together with a common purpose, or they've all chosen to do that this week and probably are going to go for a coffee and a bit of cake afterwards.
Yeah.
The same way that the people in the pool are probably going to buy something that's not super healthy, but they'll be getting massive health benefits from just being together. That's your first point of the whole community and social connectedness. And I think with the variety as well, you'll get people going, oh, I've tried this week. And can you come with me next week to it?
We've definitely had some of that. We've definitely had the people with the swim group, and we do on the Friday ones that we do, which is in the afternoon. I do take along a few snacks and things. I try and take some healthy snacks, and we sit afterwards and we talk and we have a debrief and a chat, and people come and do that. And sometimes there is, I do the aquarobics. Who else wants to come to this? Or one lady had started doing some chair-based ballet and she was really excited about that and was giving out leaflets and things. So it just opens up other opportunities and things for people. So while my dream gym is a dream, and is what I've been talking about, I'm privileged to be able to start creating, along with other members of the team, like the social prescribers. We do have great social prescribers in our team, and the dietitians and the lifestyle GPs and all that. We started to create this opportunity for the physical activity in our local community, and definitely starting small to begin with. It's just taken a few years to get to where we are now. We started off very small. Numbers can be quite small to begin with. It can be quite slow, and but it's definitely the way forward. It just takes time to build on these things, and yeah. every time we get a little bit further, it's how can we just build it a little bit more. Yeah, my dream would just be that more PCNs and healthcare providers could start adopting this model within their own communities, definitely.
Yeah, which comes back to that, what's the, my very first question to you, which is what does being the physical activity ambassador mean? And it's spreading this message far and wide and going that we're doing this here, but I want to learn what else you're doing so we can copy it. Feel free to copy all of these. I love, so the three angles of community and nature and variety, I think are really important. So just to make it a little bit more, put you on the spot, but if, and classic coaching question warning, if you had a magic wand, what would you wave it over? And if 6 months or a year's time, what would you change if you could change anything to make your dream gym come to reality even quicker or to have more people coming through it?
I think the kind of the environment, both kind of the physical environment and kind of more that mentality, that maybe cultural kind of environment. If I could wave a magic wand, it would, there'd be cycle lanes everywhere. There would be things where physical activity hasn't been engineered out of our lives. It would be back to the more traditional things of where we had to be physically active in order to our day-to-day life. So I think I would just make just the whole environment, the infrastructure, just make it a lot easier for people to do it rather than now where you almost have to go out of your way to do these things. And then culturally, it would be great to just have everyone realizing how important physical activity was. As we say, if physical activity were a pill, then everyone would be prescribing it. So if we could just get it so that physical activity and all the other lifestyle factors around it, if they were put at the forefront of what's important over going to medications or whatever it is at the forefront, so either whether it be for prevention or to help treat certain conditions, if that could be the default, then that would just be amazing.
Yeah. So when you see the news story of the new weight loss pill that's coming out, it'd be to basically quash that and stop that happening.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, to be more Chris Boardman in terms of making everyone realize that, and again, you and I will, you're planning your reach, you're looking at Google Maps, you're going, how can I get to the canal or the lake or the river with these people? I'm doing the same when I'm visiting a pub, or just before the, literally weeks before the pandemic shut down, I was running around the University of Warwick, logging it on Strava, obviously, to then go into the sport and wellbeing centre to say, look, I just did this 5K run. This is how we do a challenge. This is how we're going to motivate the students, not necessarily to come into the wellbeing, but yeah, we do that.
Yeah.
Other people don't. So it's making that wayfinding and just going, there is more green or blue space down here. You don't have to get into the water and swim across it, but it's really nice walking around it, for example. Yeah.
Yeah. Just finding that little bit of, people live busy, chaotic lives, and it's just finding that little bit that they can change or work on to try and make it better for them.
Yeah. Just shift the dial a little bit this week. And then a bit more next week. Amazing. Yeah. Okay. Not one of the traditional dream gyms, but one of my favorites, honestly. I love it. Then, with what I'm doing with Health Seekers, it does fit in nicely. And I think there's lots of takeaways, lots of learning, or what ideas for listeners to get into, wherever you're listening to it, and like in the comments or thoughts, or reach out to Joe. I'm trying to think would there be a name for your dream gym? It's a tricky question, really, because it's not a facility as such.
We have what's called Leamington PCN Fitness Club. So we have a kind of a name attached to that, loose as to how that could expand to or change. But within our PCN, we have the Leamington PCN Fitness Club. So,
Nice. Well, that as a show title, Leamington PCN Fitness Club is a good one.
Yeah.
Cool. Have we got any? I'm just trying to think in terms of quick fire questions. You've almost answered a lot of my quick fire questions as we've gone through, Joe. What's your next challenge? The Grey Little Swim.
That's the next one.
Yes. When you're running, are you and obviously on a race, you're probably not allowed, but are you headphones in? Have you got music on, or is it a podcast, or are you just natural listening to the bird song?
I'm definitely a natural listening to the Birdsong type person. Yeah. I occasionally put a podcast on if I'm doing a very long run, like a 20, my marathon training, it's like a 20 mile run, might put a podcast in. But yeah, I'm very much a just go out and be with my own thoughts, which for some people is sounds horrible. But I much prefer just to be, just thinking and listening to what's around me when I'm running.
Yeah, I thought so from point number two of your dream gym, mate gym. So
yeah,
it's going to be the Birdsong. Yeah, same as, again, a bunch of other guests. It's probably 50-50 headphones and that.
Yeah, I think it is.
And if you were going for a run rather than a swim, because you're probably not chatting to people so much on a swim, who would your dream, who would your dream guest or running partner be if you're going for a long run? Who anyone famous or a friend, alive or dead?
That's an interesting
one. Would you like to go
one.
For a run with?
I'd have to say it would be a guy called Rich Roll. I don't know if you've heard of Rich Roll. He's an American guy, and his life was going down the wrong path. He was a top swimmer, but then he went down the route of drinking too much alcohol, getting very overweight and things like that. And he hit 40 and he realized that this is what he wanted to do. And he totally transformed his life with his diet, plant-based diet, started making all these little changes, and he's written books and he's got a podcast as well, and I just find him a really inspiring person, and he's done loads of interesting challenges. So I would definitely, I could go on a long run, it would definitely be with him.
Cool. So I imagine primarily for the chat and the learning, but would he be pushing you as well, or would you be pushing him?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think he'd probably be pushing me, I would have thought.
Okay, cool. Rich Roll.
Great book.
Cool. Well, listen, it's been great hearing about your dream gym, Joe. People want to find out more. In the conferences or best place to find you online. In the UK, International Health Coaches Directory, presumably.
Yeah, I'm on there. The Health Coach Directory. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram at Joe. Yeah.
Well, so yeah, reach out if you want to know more or want to help Joe in her mission to build Leamington Spa Fitness Club.
Leamington PCN Fitness Club. Yeah.
Fitness Club with community, nature, and variety.
Yes. Yeah. Brilliant. That'd be great to hear from people.
Excellent. Joe, thanks ever so much again for your time. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, Guy. Thank you.
Hi, it's Guy back again with some thank yous, collected news and details of our next guest. First of all, as always, a big thanks to you for listening to this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it, and thanks as well to Jo Fleming for telling us all about her background, all the exercise that she does, swimming the Serpentine, the Great North Swim, and about her dream gym, which this did border on more of a health seeker story, but a great one personally to start off series 9 with. I love the fact that there's so much her three pillars of community and nature and variety, and it doesn't have to be about exercise all the time. So yes, it does lean on the health seeker stories quite a lot. Go and have a listen to that if you want to hear more. Thanks as well to Explore Gym. Don't forget, if you want to save time, drive efficiencies and boost revenue from a single platform, sort out a demo with exploregym.co.uk today. I'd like to ask a couple of favours, please. If you would like to help us on the collective, please don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast, share and review it to help it to grow. And if you know anyone else who'd like to get involved, either as a guest or as a supporter, then please get in touch on the socials or email guy@ggfit.com. In terms of other stuff going on the collective, I've already mentioned the Health Seeker Stories conversations. There's the Business of PT podcast as well with Adam Daniel. Look that up. We did have our annual golf day last week, so sorry if you missed that, but we did have a great time, lots of networking there. I think the next event in the calendar, the next big event, is Elevate on the second week of June. So there will be some kind of collective get together at the Elevate conference. So look out for more details on that on the socials.
Next week on Your Dream Gym, I'm looking forward to talking to Andy Pickles from Pure Energy Go, also known as a master mixer. That's going to be a great conversation. Really looking forward to that. And I hope you're looking forward to hearing it as well. Find it in your stream if you subscribe. Thank you again for listening, and I look forward to seeing you soon.